All right, Debosai, good morning. Let's begin. So we have a very beautiful daf today, a lot of gemara to do today. So let's begin from the top. Nikanor naasu nisim l'daltosav. So if you remember again, the Mishnah, when discussing all of the various people who made positive contributions, ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash, just simply said that a man by the name of Nikanor, there was a miracle that happened with his doors. So the gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, ma nisim naasu l'daltosav. What miracles happened to the doors of Nikanor? Amru, they said, Kisha halach Nikanor, lahavi daltos me Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. Nikanor went to go ahead and import, we'll see, he went to bring special copper doors from Alexandria in Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. Bechaziroso amad alav nachshol shebayam litavon. As he was coming back, there was a great wave that was looking to capsize his ship. So also, it's actually interesting, a lot of discussion over here as to why. Meaning, obviously, when they say it was a great wave, there was something supernatural that was happening that was potentially going to prevent Nicanor from bringing this special door back for the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ben Yehoyada comments, he says, "Kidei lo seislo efsharus limsar nafsha abeis HaMikdash." The HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go ahead and give Nicanor the opportunity for Mesiras Nefesh, literally for self-sacrifice for the Beis HaMikdash, as we're going to see in just one moment. So what happened? Natlach, obviously, if there's a storm, so what do you have to do? You have to lighten the ship. So what did they do? Natlo achas min, they took one of these, and remember again, also remember how large are these doorways? Remember, we already saw that the shard and the entranceways of the Beis HaMikdash were 20 amos high. So obviously, you're talking about some pretty 30-foot, at least a 30-foot high door. So what did they do? They took one of the doors, not lo achas mehen, v'tiluhu liyam, and they threw it overboard. V'adayin lo nach hayam mizapo. But still, the sea did not rest from its anger. Bikshu lahatil es chaverta. So they were going to throw the other door overboard. Amad, who listened to this, so Nikanor stood up, the karcha, he hugged it, he wrapped his arms around the door, and he said, Amar lahem, hiti luni ima. He said, if the door is going overboard, so am I. Right? He said, throw me over also. What happened? Miyad nachaya mizapo. In that moment, the sea quieted down from its anger. However, Shabbos say again, so therefore, according to Ben Yehoyada, here you had Nikanor being Moser Nefesh, willing to engage in self-sacrifice for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, mission accomplished, and therefore ultimately the sea calms down. I'll just point out, I'm not going to get into it now, maybe on one day when we have a little bit more time, the Ritva comments over here, he says the possibility is that it might have to do that Nikanor went back to Egypt. Right? And the Torah says that one is not permitted to go ahead and go back and dwell in Egypt. So although the Ritva quickly dismisses that because it's not an issue of commerce in Egypt, it's an issue of dwelling in Egypt, which of course raises a lot of very interesting questions because some great people, amongst them the Rambam, did live in Egypt. So, all right, we'll leave that for a different time. So the Gemara says, "Bahayim mitzar al chaverta." So as much as Nikanor was able to save one door, he was very upset about the one that was lost, the door that got away. So he says, the Gemara says, listen to this. Kevan sha higia l'namala, when they finally got to the port, shel Akko, haisa mivatz vetzes v'yotza mitochas dof ne'asina. Also, listen to this miracle. So when they got to the port in Akko, they found that the door was bobbing underneath the hull of the boat. So miraculously, the door had followed them, so to speak, the entire way back to Eretz Yisrael. Others say, Beria Shebayam Balasa. Others say there was a sea creature that had swallowed it up. Vihiki Asa Liabasha. And spit it up onto the shore. The Aleha Amar Shlomo, and about this Shlomo Melech said, Koros Beitenu Basinu Arazim. Literally, the walls of our house are made of cedar. Reitenu Brosim. Our doors are made of cypress. Al Tikri Brosim. Don't read it as Brosim. Elo Berias Yam. Rather read it as that the doors of our Beis HaMikdash came from the sea creatures, which was a reference over here to this particular episode where, again, the sea creatures swallowed up the door, spit it up onto the shore. Well, so listen to how beautiful this is. Lefichach, kol ha-sha'arim shahayu b'mikdash, nishtanu liyo shalzav. So we know that later on, there's such a beautiful Gemara, That's later on when the Jews became richer. So they read this all second temple. They redid all of the doors in gold. All doors done in gold, except Chutz Meshare Nicanor, with the exception of the Nicanor gates. The Nicanor gates always remained their original copper. Why? Mipnei Shena'asu Bo Nisim, because of the miracles that occurred with it. So I think it's also an additional idea, which is because of the incredible Mesiras Nefesh. Right? Meaning, ultimately, you see this story. Nicanor was ready to go overboard with the, not over, oh, literally overboard. He was ready to go overboard with this door. You know what reminds me of like by Bikurim. So the Mishnah Bikurim says that when the rich would bring their Bikurim, they would bring it in baskets of gold. And when the poor would bring their Bikurim, they would just give it simple baskets. And the rich would get their baskets back. The poor, part of their Bikurim offering was to give the baskets to the Kohen. And the Mefarshim explained, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that for the poor person to create that basket, to give, that's a part of him. So also that's what's happening over here. A lot of people, Baruch Hashem, give donations. But some people, when they give, they're mamish giving a piece of themselves along with that which they are donating. When Nicanor gave these doors, it was mamish a piece of him. See, even when they redid everything in gold, Nicanor's gate remained in copper. So the Gemara goes on and says, V'yeshomrim, others say, Mipnei shenechushtan mutzhevesai. So others say, well, it didn't really need to be converted into gold. Why? Because it was a beautiful yellow copper. So, meaning, it looked like gold. It looked like gold. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer, nechoshes klonisa haisa, v'haisa me'ira kishazav. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, it was refined copper, and it shined as beautifully as gold. Okay. Says the Mishnah. So it was really just an exceptional Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Veidu l'ginai. And these, remember, in the previous Mishnah, we mentioned everyone who is remembered for good because of positive contributions they made. Now, the Mishnah says, these are the people who are remembered in a disparaging fashion. And who are they? Beis Garmu, the Garmu family, Shalorotsu l'lamed al-maisa lechem haponim. Because they did not want to, we actually had this Gemara earlier in Shkolim. They did not want to go ahead and teach anyone about how to make Lechem HaPanim. Also remember, the Lechem HaPanim is quite unique because it has a fascinating shape. It's flat on the bottom, then it has two thin walls that come up and two thin walls that come out. And somehow you have to be able to bake this bread, remove it from the oven without it collapsing, and allow it to sit on the table without it collapsing. So now, obviously, it was a skill. So Beis Garmu knew how to make it, but they did. They wouldn't share the secret with anyone else. Shal Beis Avatinas, and therefore, again, they're remembered in a disparaging fashion. The Avatinas family are remembered in a disparaging fashion. Why? Lo ratzu lelamed al ma'isa hakitores, because they would not teach anyone about the kitores. The kitores is the incense. We'll see what that means in just a little bit. Hugrus ben Levi, listen to this. Hugrus ben Levi was especially proficient. Hayo yodea Perek Bashir. He knew how to make music, and we'll discuss that with an instrument, and we'll discuss exactly what he did, but he would not share this with anyone else. Below Ratzalalami, he wouldn't teach it to anyone else. Ben Kamtsar is remembered in an unfavorable light. Why? Lo Ratzal Lilamid Al Maisa Haksav. As we will see, Ben Kamtsar had a very unique skill. If you look at Rashi says it's on the right hand side. Rashi says, Almaisak Sav, he says, Kosher Dalid Kulmusin, Bidalid Etzbaosav, the Kosev Shem Ben Arba Osios Keachar. He was able to tie four quills to four fingers and simultaneously write four different letters. I will say, you'll see, interestingly enough, the reason why this actually comes in handy, you say, well, who cares? You know, the reason why it actually comes in handy is because it happens to be Shem Hashem. Right, Yud Kei Vav Kei is four letters, and there are certain circumstances where it's actually beneficial to be able to write all of those letters in a simultaneous fashion, as we'll discuss. So the Gemara says, and what happens? He didn't want to share this skill with anyone else. So the Mishnah says, Al Rishonim Ne'emar Zecher Tzadik Livracha. About the early ones refer to everybody mentioned in our previous Mishnah, who made positive contributions to the Beis HaMikdash. So about the earlier ones, we say that the memory of the righteous should be for a blessing, Va'al Elu Ne'emar, and about these mentioned in this Mishnah, we say V'shem V'shoim Yirkav. Literally, very strong wording. The names of the wicked should rot. Also just even before we go on, you see over here that at the end of the day, what the Mishnah really understands is that when the fact that these people did not want to share these pieces of information meant that they did not understand that their skills were a gift to them for the service of the collective. When a person forgets that they live for the collective and they don't live for themselves. So the Gemara calls that Resha. The Gemara calls that evil. A person who just has in mind for themselves and doesn't have in mind anyone else. An egocentric, self-centered life is not a life worth living. So the Gemara literally says, it calls them a shame. Very strong. Shame, Rishonim, Yerkov. Ten Rabbanon. Well, so now the Gemara goes through each of these. So the rabbis teach the following. Base Garmu, listen to this. So the Garmu family, Hayu Bekiyim B'mais Lechem Aponim. So also listen to this. So the Garmu family, they were experts in the Lechem Aponim. So V'lo Ratzu L'lamed. However, they did not want to teach the skill to anyone else. What happens? So the rabbis got a little fed up with this because the truth is nobody wants to be held hostage by anyone. So what happens? So the rabbis sent, apparently there were like some artisan bakers in Alexandria. So the rabbis sent for these artisan bakers and they came to Eretz Yisrael. Now these bakers knew how to bake like the Garmu family, but there was one problem. So the problem was like this. Obviously, in order to go ahead and bake this type of bread, you'd have to bake it in some kind of mold within the oven itself. So they knew how to bake the bread. What couldn't they do? They couldn't get it out of the oven, out of the mold, without it breaking. So what did they do? Shahalalu masikin mibachutz va'ofin b'chutz. So what did the Alexandrian, bless you, what did the Alexandrian bakers do? They heated the oven from the outside, and they baked it on the outside. Remember, you know, you could bake bread on the outside of an oven. What does that mean? For example, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have all these places where you could do this. If you went to this place called Eretz Bereishit in Eretz Yisrael, which is a wonderful, wonderful place. You could, like, you know, they recreate Avraham Avinu's tent. You can make pita. So how do you make pita? You take a piece of dough, you slap it against hot iron, and you have pita. Right? That's Hasekim Mibachutz. So you could bake things on the outside with heat source outside as well. So what happened? They would heat the heat source on the outside, bake on the outside. V'halalu masik nibifnim v'ofim bifnim. But the base Garmu, the Garmu family, so they used to heat the oven on the inside and bake on the inside. And what was the difference? Halalu pitan misafeshas. The Alexandrian bread would spoil. V'halalu ein pitan misafeshas. But the Garmu bread did not. Now, also, the reason for that is because, essentially, the Alexandrian bread did not get fully baked. That's what it was, meaning you don't have the same heat intensity baking. I see a lot of shaking heads. Baruch Shem, happy to see people have extensive experience with this. Yes, that's my experience as well. Good. So either that or you're nodding off. So remember again, so because the Alexandrian bread was not fully baked, therefore it would rot. So what happens? Well, so listen to this. So when the Chachamim said this, essentially said, they said, you know, we're beat. Because the truth is, only the Garmu family knows how to do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly gave them this skill. This is their skill. Okay, we have to negotiate with them. So what happened? So they understood that the fact that they were given this skill that no one else has was a God-given talent. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted them to know. And therefore they say, okay, we have to go back to the Garmu family. The Chazru based Garmu Limkoman. And the rabbis resolved, they fired the Alexandrian bakers, and they were going to rehire the Garmu bakers. Shalchulah, listen to this. Shalchulah Chachamim. So the Chacham said, okay, so we're sorry, come back to work. Below Ba'u, the Garmu family said, no. Kaflu Lahem Scharan Uba'u. Here's a good way to get people to come back to work. What did they do? They doubled their salary. Remember, obviously, the Garmu families were employees of the Beis HaMikdash. This was not like a volunteer service. They were the bakers of the Beis HaMikdash, so they doubled their salary. And they came back. Originally, their salary was 12 mana a day. And then it became 24. Rabbi Huda says, B'choyom esrin v'arba. Vayom arba'im ushmona. Okay, fine. Either it was 12 and then 24 then 48. Amrim chachamim ma re'isim shelo lelamit. So they asked, the rabbis asked the Garland family, why won't you share this information? I said, listen to how profound this is. Amru lahem, yodin hayu shel beis abba, shebayis ze osid licharif. So the Beis Garmu family said, we have a Mesorah from our forefathers that this temple will not stand forever. There will come a day when it will be destroyed. Therefore, Shema Yilmod Adam She'eno Muhugan, V'yelech V'yavod Avodos Kochavim Bekach. And I will say, what? So we have a Mesorah, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed, and therefore we have a Mesorah in our family that we do not teach anyone the order or the process of Lechem Apanim, order that one should not what? Use it someday, somehow, for Avodah Zarah. Quite striking. But there is one practice that they were remembered favorably for. What was that? There was never, the Garmu family, you could never find bread made of fine flour in their house. It literally means in the hands of their kids. Meaning, the Garmu family never ate bread made of fine flour. Why? Because we'll say, what would be the problem? If people would see the Garmu kids walking around with fine flour sandwiches, what will people assume? That maybe they were skimming a little bit off the top with the lechem aponim, and therefore they never ate. So we'll say it's quite amazing. So remember, they essentially ate inferior bread. They ate inferior bread in their home in order that no one should even think for a moment that they're taking some of the lechem aponim. Lekayim ashen emar, this is in fulfillment of what we say, v'yisem nikiyim, me Hashem umi Yisrael. We'll say, very important yisod. You know, sometimes people in life think that I don't really care what anyone else thinks. As long as I know I'm doing what's right, it doesn't matter. It's not true. It does matter. It does matter. A person has an obligation not just to do the right thing, but a person has an obligation to project the right image. And if my image is tarnished in the eyes of others, that is not something, that's something one has to correct. So therefore, again, the Garmu family, there's obviously other fine flour, around, but they were so careful to project the right image that no one should even think for a moment that they're taking from consecrated items that they would never eat fine flour bread. So the Gemara goes weiter. They were masculine the shvach.
This was good. But this is why they weren't sharing the secret, though.
So the Gemara doesn't like that reason. The Gemara doesn't like the fact that they didn't share the recipe. That the Gemara says masculine. That's Shem Risham Yirka. Fine, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. That's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but that's a reality. We understand. But clearly, they still felt they should have shared the recipe. Tanur Rabbanon. So the house of Avatinas were proficient, were experts in the Ktores. They didn't want to share it with anyone else. So we'll say similar story. So again, Avatinas family won't share the secret recipe for Ktores. They went, they send four people from Alexandria. The Alexandrian Wow, not merchants. What's the right word?
Experts.
I'll go with experts. Okay, the Alexandrian experts, they knew how to create the right recipe for Ketores, but there's one thing they didn't know, although Hayu Yodin Laha'alos Ashan Shel Kimosan. Shalalalu Mitamar Va'ola Kimakel. Shalalalu Mafzia Lakarma Lakan. I will say, what did they not know how to do? There was a special herb that allowed the smoke of the Ketores to ascend in a straight pillar, kimakel, literally like a stick.
Weren't those part of the miracles that took place?
No. That's the Mizbeach. That's the Mizbeach Hachitzon. That's the outer Mizbeach where the Mishnah says that the smoke rising from that Mizbeach went up in a straight column.
What about the lechem aponim bread? Wasn't that fresh the whole week? Wasn't that part of the miracle?
That's fresh. That's not what you're talking about over here.
No, so the story before.
Correct.
Their bread spoiled, but the whole.
That wasn't a week later. That was now. That was now. That was quick. That was way before the next Shabbos. And
spoiled is different than stale, right?
Spoiled is different than, right, correct. It wasn't baked. It wasn't baked. That's what I was just trying to say. At the end of the day, it was partially raw. So we'll say, so what would happen? So the smoke of the Alexandrian Ketores would dissipate, whereas the smoke of the Garmu Ketores, of the Avatinas Ketores, would ascend like a straight like a stick. When the rabbis heard about this, obviously everything that God created, He created for His glory, which Shlomo says another way of saying that clearly the Avatina family has a skill that was given to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that others can't replicate. So the rabbis are ready to reinstate the Avatina's family. But what happens? The rabbis say, you're rehired. And what happens? The Avatina's family would not come back to work. They had to double their salary. And they came back to work. So every day they used to make 12 and now they got 24. Rabbi Yehuda says every day 24 and now they got 48. Amrulam Chachamim. Ma reisim shelo lelamed. So the rabbis asked them, tell me, why won't you share the Maisa HaKitores? So look what they said. Amru, Yodin Hayu Shel Beis Abba, Shebayis Ze Osid Lichoriv. So they said, because we have a Masoreh, a tradition in our father's home, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So Amru Shema Yilmot Adam She'ino Muhugan. What are we concerned about? If we give over this information, somebody who's not worthy is going to learn it, and therefore what? And then what? V'yelech v'ya'avod avodas kochavim bekach. And they will go and they will worship idolatry with it. So you see, interestingly enough, the house of Avatinas and the house of Garmu gave the same answer for why they did not want to share their particular skill sets. They had a Masorah based Mikdash was going to be destroyed. And therefore, again, these secrets could fall into the wrong hands and be used for idolatry. Rav Soloveitchik asks on this Gemara, he says that, you know, these seem to be pretty good reasons. I'm saying, you know, if you think about it, this is pretty legitimate. And yet the Gemara says, the Gemara remembers them in a disparaging fashion. So we'll say, the Rav says so beautifully, because you can't live your life focused on Churban. You can't live your life focused on destruction. Destruction happens in life. It's part of the cycle of life. But a person has to live in the positive. A person has to live in the manner of dynamic growth. A person has to be focused on building. It could be that Churban is going to happen. It's quite possible. And very often Churban does happen in many different times. But to live life as a pessimistic Churban individual is an Avera in and of itself. So what the Mishnah calls Resha. So to go ahead and hold back because you know at some point in time the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, the Mishnah says, that's not the way the Jew lives. That's not the way the Jew thinks. V'shem v'shoim yarkav. So the Gemara goes weiter. And yet there was something very positive about them. There was a practice that they were remembered for in a favorable fashion. And what was that? Well, so this is how beautiful this is. Ne'olom lo yotzeh sakalim v'vusam v'vateyem. So we'll say, the Avatinas women never wore perfume. Never wore perfume. Why? Why? Because also, so Shinosin Isha Mimakum Acher Masnin Ima Shalotis Basim. And when the Avatinas boys married girls from other families, they had to make a stipulation with their kalas that what? You can't wear perfume. If we marry you, you can never wear perfume. Why? And Rabosi, you have to understand something. That's a very big thing. Because because people weren't necessarily bathing every single day. So what? So perfume was not just like an additional thing. Perfume was very often used to mask body odor. So to go ahead and say that you know they can't use perfume is a big thing. Why do they do this? That no one should ever say that the Avatinas family is using some of the ketores for themselves. Because as Zerah Phil, the pasuk that says one has to be literally naki, one has to be clean, one has to be above reproach, beyond reproach, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of God and the eyes of man. Amar Bishmo, Pam achas ha'isi mehalich baderek. One time I was walking on the road, umatzasi echad mibnei b'neihem, and I found one of the grandchildren of the Avatina family. Amarti lo, I said to him, avosecha bikshu laharbos kivodon. Your family tried to amplify their own covet. How? By not sharing the recipe of the Ketores. And in doing so, they tried to diminish the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because most of you understand something. Technically speaking, has something happened to the Avatinas family, then what? Then what? It could be that Chas Shalom, then the secret of the Ketores would have been lost. So when somebody does something like that, that clearly means they're only looking out for themselves and not looking out for the honor of God. And yet, achshav kivod mako bimkomo, and now this was post destruction of the temple. The glory of God is still intact. Kadosh Baruch Hu is love. Kadosh Baruch Hu umiyet kivodam, but the glory of your family has essentially disappeared. I'm going to be Akiva. Pam achas sakli Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga. Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga told me, Pam achas yatsasi ani ve'echa mibnei bneim l'sada l'lakit asavim. So Rabbi said, one time Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga said that he went out to the field with one of the members of the Avatinas family. And what happened? To collect herbs. V'ra'isi, that she changed over here, shebacha usachak, that he cried and he laughed. Amarti lo mitnei ma bachisa. Why are you crying? Amarli kavod avosai niskarti. Because this member of the Avatinas family said, I remembered the former glory of my family. Umitnei ma sachakta. And why did you laugh? Amarli asil HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahachzir lanu. I laughed because I know one day God will restore the glory to our family. Umitnei ma niskarta. So what jogged your memory? Meaning, what did you see that made you remember the glory lost and the glory that will come back to your family? See, he says, Amarli ma'ala ashan kenegdi. See, he said, because I saw the herb ma'ala ashan. Well, so what's ma'ala ashan? There was one herb that you mixed into the herbs of the Ketores that caused the smoke to ascend in a straight pillar. So this grandson of the Avatina's family said, oh, I saw that particular herb right in front of me in the field. Her orali. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga said to this boy, he said, show me which is the Ma'ala Ashan. Amarli, Shvua Hibi Adenu, She'in Marin Oso L'Cholot. He said, I'm sorry, we have an oath in our family that we don't reveal the Ma'ala Ashan to anyone. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Pam Achos Matzasi Zokin Echad, Umegilas Samamanim Biyadom. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said, one time I encountered an old man, and he had a scroll of herbs, a Ketores scroll. This was a scroll that contained the names as well as diagrams of all of the herbs for the Ketores. Ve'amarti lo, me'ayin ato? And I said to this man, what family are you from that you have this scroll? Amar li, he said to me, mi'beis avatinas ani. I am from the Avatinas family. Uma bi'odech, and I asked him, what's in your hand? Amar li, megilas samemanim. He said to me, this is a scroll of herbs. Hereoli, I said to him, show it to me. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said, show it to me. Amarli, kozman shebeis abba hayu kayomim, lo hayu mosrin osa l'chol adam. When my father's home, when my family was in existence, we would never show this to anyone. Va'achshav harehu l'cha. But now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, I hereby give over this scroll to you. V'hizoher ba. But please be very careful with it. Ukeshabasi v'sachti divalet ne Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, when I came and I gave this over and I told Rabbi Akiva what happened, Amar li me'ata l'aster l'saper b'ginus an shal oda. Also, listen to how beautiful this is. So when I told this to Rabbi Akiva, meaning that what? That the Avatinas, maybe was the last remaining member of the Avatinas family, gave me over the scroll of herbs, Rabbi Akiva said, we may no longer speak disparagingly of the Avatinas family. The Avatinas family has redeemed themselves because they have shared the Ketores. And again, Rabbi, thereby ensuring that the secret could live on in the hands of others. Mikan Amr ben Azai, very, very profound. Mikan Amr ben Azai, from here ben Azai used to say, very profound yisod, Bishmecha yikar'ucha, in your name they will call you, ubimimkomcha yoshivucha, and in your place they shall seat you. Now, what is, looking before you turn the page, look at Rashi. Mikan Amr ben Azai, from here ben Azai used to say, so Rashi says, Mima'ase beis garmu o beis avatinas, from these episodes of the Garmu Avatinas family, shebikshu chachamim litchosamim komam below yachlu. I will say, so ben Azai used to say, now what happened to both these stories? The rabbis tried to get them out of their positions. Why? Because the rabbis saw that they were inappropriately holding on to this information for themselves. So Ben Azai says, from the fact that the rabbis tried to get them out, but what? But they couldn't. At the end of the day, right, we had to call them back. So what do we learn from here? Look at Rashi. B'shmecha yikar'ucha. In your name they will call you. Lo yidog adam lomar. Ploni yikapeach parnasasi. Ke'al karchach b'shem yikar'ucha lavo. V'lo shul b'mkomecha. We both say, one of the greatest challenges in life is that people feel like they have to fight for their slice of the pie, right? You know, I need to get it because if I don't get it and you get it, then you're going to deprive me. Ben-Azai says, what do you see from this story? Your slice of the pie is your slice of the pie. V'shimcha yikarucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's going to give you. And he's m'komcha yoshivucha. And he's going to sit you in the place that's really yours. And even if someone else tries to sit in your place, what's going to happen? That person ultimately will be removed and you're going to sit. Obviously, you have to put in your ishtaglus. Person has to put in their effort. But l'naisa, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has designated for you, is ultimately going to be yours. Same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had plans for the Avatinas and Garmu families. It was their slice of the pie. And even when the rabbis tried to give it to the Alexandrians, it came right back to them. Umishalcha amabez. Umishalcha yitnu lecha. What is yours will ultimately be given to you. Look at Rashi. Umishalcha yitnu lecha kilomar. What is supposed to be yours, the Ribbono Shel Olam has already designated from you from above. A person can never touch that which is reserved for us. And meaning, Rabbi Osai, again, it's such an incredible yisod. This is the whole idea. We understand that Mizonosov Shel Adam Kitsuvin Lomi Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates what we're supposed to have. Obviously, we only get it if we put in our effort. But lest you think that this is the greatest challenge, because often people feel that the accomplishments of others rob me of what could be mine. Says the Gemara, not true. Your accomplishments are yours. My accomplishments are mine. What you're supposed to have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you. And even if I try to take what's yours, God's going to take it right back from me and give it back to you. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours in the world of accomplishment. So don't think that you have to struggle with someone else for their piece of the pie, because it's not going to be yours. It's going to be theirs. Yours is yours, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure you have it. Similarly, just as one monarchy cannot overlap with another, even a hair's breadth. Right? Each king has a defined amount of time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to rule, and two monarchies never overlap even by a hair's breadth. Okay, so the Mishnah goes on to the next one. What's amazing about this is, this at least the Avatina story, seems to have a happy ending at the end. That Rabbi Akiva says they redeemed themselves by the surviving member of the Avatina, some sharing the scroll of the Ketores, and Rabbi Akiva says, it's usher to speak disparagingly from them anymore. Ben-Azai telling us, a major life lesson that comes out from these stories. What is supposed to be yours will ultimately be yours. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you to do, that's going to be your life task. And even if someone else tries to take it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let them. It will revert back to you.
It's too bad they couldn't get it erased from the Mishnah.
I'm sorry?
It's too bad they couldn't get it erased.
Well, remember, Rabbi Kiva's post-Mishnah. Correct. So says the Gemara, Hugros Ben Levi. Hugros Ben Levi. The truth is, you know, you have to understand something. It shouldn't get erased from the Mishnah, because it's a very important lesson. You know, this is an incredible, just as an aside, this is an incredible lesson, because what it tells you is sometimes people get involved in communal work, but then it becomes all about them. It becomes one, and this is the greatest danger. That's why you see people sometimes in the context of serving the community do the most craziest and wildest things. They're just so ridiculous, because they think they're doing something righteous, but in the end, it's terribly, terribly self-serving and egocentric. Terribly self-serving and egocentric. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. You have individuals over here who are ostensibly dedicated to the cloud, but they're not. They were dedicated to themselves. And so the Mishnah calls them out on it. The Mishnah says, that's resha. That's evil to do that. That's using the cloud for your own benefit. And that's not what we do. So even though Baruch Hashem, they redeemed themselves, however, much later, it's an important yisod. Says the Gemara, Hugros Ben Levi. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? Hugros Ben Levi. This lady had a very special ability to go ahead and produce music. So how did he do it? Listen to this. Tanya, Kishu, Nosa, Kolobini, Ima. What would he do? Machnis, Godlo, Lusoch, Piv. Rabbi say, please don't try this as we're learning. Right? So what would he do? He would put his thumb in his mouth. Umaniach, Etzbo'o, Benanemen. And he put, I guess it must have been his index finger or something between. Name literally means the hairs of his mustache. So he would place his thumb in his mouth. And I guess probably he would regulate the air by his nose. And what happened? And he produced a musical sound like this that was so strong, Ad shahayu echav hakohanim nizrakim, right? Bebas roshla, bebas rashla achareim. Until the kohanim literally like flew back as a result, obviously a little bit of a hyperbole, as a result ultimately of what? As a result ultimately of the sound that he produced. So,
like a whistle, people go.
Yeah, yes, it must. But this was more melodic. This was more melodic. Yeah, I'm gonna post the YouTube video later. So says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Ben Kamtzar lo ratza lalamid al ma'isak saf. So remember, Ben Kamtzar, he was the one who knew how this. Well, we'll see. He didn't want to teach anybody about his skill of writing. What did he? What was he able to do? Amra alav shayanoto dalid kolmosin bein etzbosaf. He was able to take four quills tied to his fingers. And if there was a four-letter word, he was able to write it at once. Meaning he was able to write a separate letter with each and every finger. So they asked Ben Kamtzar, why won't you teach us this? Why won't you teach us this? And what happened? Kulan matzu tshuva l'dirin. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. When you asked Avatina family, Garmu family, they answered you as to why they weren't going to teach this. But when they asked Ben Kamtzar, lo matzu tshuva l'dvarav, Ben Kamtzar had no answer. Meaning Ben Kamtzar didn't even have an excuse as to why he wouldn't share this skill with anyone else. Al Rishonim, regarding the original ones, Ne'emar, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. About the earlier ones, it is said that the name of the righteous is remembered for blessing. Va'al ben kamtzar v'chaveirav, and about Ben Kamtzar and his friends. And I will say again, this would seem to include Ben Kamtzar and his friends. Apparently, there were others like this as well, who had particular skills, but yet were unwilling to go ahead and share it with anyone else. Ne'emar v'shem rishoim yirkav. Literally, the name of the wicked shall rot. So the Gemara says, "My v'shem rishoim yirkav." Now, what exactly does that formulation mean? The name of the wicked shall rot. Amar Rav Elazar, rakvivos tale b'shmoson. Rakvivos literally means rust. Rust should literally rise. Tale should come up on their names. Delo maskinon b'shmayu. The Bosh said that what this is interesting is that what does that mean? It means that we do not use their names. We do not use names. So if you're looking for a name for your child, we do not use the names of the people mentioned in this Mishnah because, again, they were people who did bad things, and therefore, ultimately, we do not perpetuate their names. So the Gemara says, really, is that true? After all, look at Rashi. Lo maski b'shmayu, lo yikare, lo yikra adam livno, shem adam rasha. I will say a person should not go ahead and call his child by the name of Rasha. I'll say, it's an interesting thing in general. You know, very often by Ashkenazim, for sure, the custom is to name after deceased relatives. And every so often you have this question that comes up, or what happens? Again, I want to name after a relative. But the truth is, the guy was a rotten guy. You know, there are some rotten people. I'm saying, the person was just not a good person. So there's a big discussion in terms of whether using such a name like that. Again, if it's a biblical name, it's much easier because it has earlier precedence. But Lamaise, again, there's this concept of not using the names of wicked people. So the Gemara says, Masif Ravina. Ravina raises a kasha. Ma'ase bedoeg ben Yosef. Listen to this. There was an episode with Doeg ben Yosef. Who was Doeg ben Yosef? He was a child. Shenichu. Aviv ben Shenichu ben Katan Liimo, who left literally a small child to its mother. Bechoyom Haisa Imo Modidasa Bitvachaim. So we'll say every single day the mother took her child and she measured him. Bitvachaim literally means with her measurements. Vinosenes Mishkalo Shozala Bisamikdash. We'll say it's quite amazing. And what happens? She would measure her son, and every day she would give the corresponding amount of gold to the Beis HaMikdash. Ukishagavar Oyev, but yet again, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Oyev, the enemy, overcame us, Tavchaso v'achlaso, she slaughtered her child and she ate him. We actually read about this in the Kinos, that one of the overwhelming things about the destruction of Beis HaMikdash is there was cannibalism. Which speaks out just the incredible enormity of the upheaval that took place in Yerushalayim during this time in history. So literally a mother who every single day was measuring her child and donating his height, the value of his height, the amount of his height, to the Beis HaMikdash was now slaughtering her own child. And about this woman, Yirmiyahu HaNavi laments, Im tochalna nashim piryam olalei tipuchim, mashiva ruach hakodesh va'omeres, imi harig b'mikdash Hashem kohen b'navi. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi laments and he says, if a woman could eat literally the fruit of their wombs, if a woman could go ahead and eat literally the child that she raises, and the Ruach HaKodesh responds back, and if it could be, then in the Beis HaMikdash of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Kohen and the Navi are killed. Rashi points out over here, Rashi says, Kohen v'Navi, Zechariah ben Yehoyada Kohen. So we'll say this is talking about that Zechariah ben Yehoyada was murdered by the Jewish people in the Beis HaMikdash itself. But what's the point of this entire story? If you look at Rashi, Alma maskinan bishmayu, da doika adomi rasha haya, v'zeh karlatinok bishma. So what's the whole point of this story? The Gemara just said before that the whole idea of Shem Rishem Yirkav, that the name of the wicked should rot, should become rusty. What does that mean? We don't use the names of wicked people in naming our children. And yet, what was this person's name over here? Doeg. Now Doeg, right? We have an earlier Doeg, Doeg adomi. He was one of the right-hand men of Shaul HaMelech. Doeg adomi killed the entire city of Nov, the entire city of Kohanim. He was Russia. He was Russia. And yet, what do you see over here? That the kid was named Doeg, right? So you see over here, you didn't name Rishon. So the Gemara answer is actually quite interesting. The Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't ask, but from the context, you see that they use the name of the Russia, to which the Gemara says, well, it's not a good Raya. Chazi, my Salik Bey. Well, look what happened to him, right? Look what happened to the kid. Right? So obviously, again, don't bring this as a raya that you could use the name of Rishoyim because the kid didn't actually, and this story for the child didn't actually end up very well. Amar Rebbe Elazar, tzadik miatzmo, v'rasha mechavero. Look at Rashi, we'll say for just a moment. Rashi says, first of all, look at Rashi. Chazi ma'idis salik bey, ra'a ma'olsa bey shenishchat. So look what happened. The child was named Doeg, and obviously the child himself was slaughtered by his mother. So tzaddik me'atzmo, Rashi says, a'idei ma'asa niska l'tova. A tzaddik is remembered through his actions. And what happens? A rasha mechaviro. A rasha literally is remembered through his friend. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rasha af yi'af a'idei chaviro niskar l'ra. We'll see what this means in just a moment. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, rasha tzaddik me'atzmo. What does it mean that tzaddik is remembered through himself, through his actions? Dichsiv zecher tzaddik levracha. The memory of the tzaddik himself creates bracha. That just by remembering of the tzaddik, we remember all of the good things he did. Rosh mechavero. Dichsiv v'shem rishoim yirkav. Also, what's interesting over here is it uses the plural. The name of the wicked plural shall rot. What does that mean? That when we remember one wicked person, that ultimately jogs the memory to remember other wicked people as well. So Ravina said to one of the rabbis who was arranging his homiletic teachings in front of him, where do we know this concept that the rabbis say Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that the name of the tzaddikim should be for a blessing? And he says, because the rabbi said, this is a pasuk in Mishlei, because the pasuk in Mishlei says what? That the name of the righteous should be remembered for blessing. He was asking, No. Do we have a scriptural allusion to this idea that the name of the righteous should be remembered for blessing? He says, yes, Tichsev, Vashem Omar, Hamechase Ani Me Avraham, Asher Ani Oseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, should I hide from Avraham that which I am going to do? This is by stone. So by Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, can I possibly hide from Avraham that I'm going to destroy Sodom? And what does it say right afterwards? Uksiv, the Avraham, hayo yihya legay gadol la'atsum. So we'll say, what do you see from here? And then it says, and Avraham will be a great nation. So what do you see? What do the Pesukim do? God mentions Avraham. And then immediately after mentioning Avraham, what does the Pasuk do? The next Pasuk speaks about the greatness of Avraham. So from here you see the concept, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That immediately when you just go ahead and mention the name of the tzaddik, that by definition brings to our mind the greatness of the tzaddik. So the Gemara says, Menachem Elstam Rabbanon, Shem Rishayim Yirkav. So Ravina asks, this again is Tam Tchachem, where do we know the concept that the name of the wicked should rot? Amar Leh D'Hoksiv V'Shem Rishayim Yirkav. Because the Pasuk says the name of the wicked shall rot. He says, no. Do we have a scriptural allusion to this? He said, yes. Dichsiv, Vayehal ad Sedom. So we'll say the pasuk that they quote over here is actually by Lot. Is actually by Lot. So the pasuk says Vayar Elokim. I'm sorry. The pasuk is. Hey, let me just read it to you. Avram Yosha Beres Kinan, Velot Yosha Ba'ari Akikar, Vayehal Ad Stone. That literally Lot's camp extended until stone. And once we mention stone, what does the next pasuk say? Ksiv, Va'anshe Stone, Roim Vechatoim Lashem Ma'ot. So what happens? And immediately after they mention stone, the Torah says, the people of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So from here you see that again, B'shem Rasha'im Yerkav. When you mention the name of the Rasha, so the idea that they should rot is mentioned right afterwards. Amar Reb Elazar, Tzadik Dar Bein Shnei Rasha'im. We had an episode of a Tzadik who lived between two wicked people. In other words, there are some Tzadikim who are so strong that even if they are sandwiched in between the wicked, they're still able to maintain their righteousness. We'll see who this is in just a moment. I skipped a line here. Rasha dar ben shneitzah. They give lo maaseim. There was an episode of a wicked person who lived between two righteous people, and yet was not influenced. Sadik dar ben shnei rishon lo lo maaseim. Did I skip something?
Yeah, no.
I read it right the first time?
Let's start this again.
Amr Rebbe Lozer. Tzadik Dar Ben Shem. Sorry. Rebbe Lozer says the following. Tzadik Dar Ben Shnei Rishon V'Lolom Ma'aseim. A righteous person lived between two Rishon and did not learn from their actions. Rosha Dar Ben Shnei Tzadikim. An evil person lived between two Tzadikim. V'Lolom Ma'aseim. So what are these two cases? Tzadik Dar Ben Shnei Rishon. Who is that? V'Lolom Ma'aseim. Who is that? Ovadja. That was the Navi Ovadja. Now I will say, who did the Navi Ovadja live between? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Ovadja Hayadar Ben Achav V'Izevel. So Ovadja, remember Achav and Izevel. Achav was one of the exceptionally evil kings, right? Izevel was his wife, and Izevel had a hobby, and her hobby was killing prophets of God. So she wiped out a good number of Nevi'im. Ovadja managed to survive, and he managed to still survive between the king and the queen. So he lived in the midst of such evil, and yet what? He himself was not influenced by it. Whatever. So Ovadja, Rasha Dar Ben Shnei Tzadikim Lo Maaseim, who is the one who lived between two Tzadikim and yet was not influenced by their actions? Ze Esav. This is Esav. Because Esav lived, again, I will say the truth is Esav lived among three tzaddikim. Right? There was really, so here the Gemara is referring to over here Yitzchak and Yaakov, but of course there's also Rivka Imenu as well. So remember, so the Esav lived between two tzaddikim, and yet what? He was not positively influenced by them. I will say just a general yisod that again, we know that our atmosphere exudes incredible influence on us. The Mishnah Avo says, you know, Oy l'Rasha, Oy l'Shcheino, who we choose to associate with and what we choose to allow ourselves to be exposed to has a profound influence. The Gemara is just saying is you see that a person could still be strong enough that even when they are exposed to negative influences, a person could build up an inner strength and it goes both ways. A person could block out positive influences and a person could block out negative influences as well. From the blessings of the righteous, you learn out the curses to the wicked. And from the curses of the wicked, you can learn out the bracha of the tzaddikim. Look at Rashi. What does this mean? So Rashi says, "Mir birchasan shel tzaddikim b'makom shakodesh baruch hu mevarich es tzaddikim sham mekalalas harisham." We'll say wherever you see an episode where God blesses the righteous, immediately afterwards He curses the wicked. Where do you see this? From the blessings of the tzaddikim, you can learn out the curses of the wicked. So right, Kodesh Baruch Hu says by Avraham Avinu, I know that He will instruct His offspring after Him to follow in My ways. So immediately after God mentions the blessing of the righteous, He discusses what? The depravity of the wicked. The screams of Sodom are coming up, are ascending to the heavens. And again, whenever you have mentioned the curses of the wicked, you also immediately afterwards mention the bracha of tzaddikim. The Pasuk says the people of Sodom and Amora were very wicked and evil and sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what does it say next? Vashem Amar Alavram Acharehi Pared Lot Meimo. And ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, after Lot left him, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avraham Avinu? Ultimately the land is going to be yours. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Wherever there's a mention of the blessings of Tzaddikim, there's also a mention of the curses of the Rishoyim. And whenever I'm mentioning the curses of Rishoyim, bless, I'll say why. I think it's a very powerful Yisod. Why? You know what the Torah is saying? The Torah is saying is, in life, you have to choose a side. There is no parith in life. There are two states. You're a Tzaddik or you're a Rasha. So again, that's why the Torah always contrasts the two. There is no middle ground. Maybe for a little bit out of the time of the year, there's a middle ground. Maybe Yom Noram, you could be a Beinoni. But for the rest of life, you have to choose a side. It's an incredible Yisod. People live their life thinking that they could be Parith. No Parith. Mikil Elasan Shal Rishayim, Birchasan Shal Tzadikim. Choose a side. You want to be in the clothes of the Rishayim, want to be in the brachos of the Tzadikim. And that's why the Torah always juxtaposes the two. Wherever you mention one, the immediate aftermath is the mention of the other. Choose what team you're going to be a part of. The Gemara goes vayto. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Afilu b'shil tzadik echad olam nivra. The world was created even for one tzadik. It's worth it to create the world even for one tzadik. Shneimar vayara lokim esa or kitov. God saw the light and it was good. Listen to how beautiful this is. Ve'ein tov ela tzadik. And what's good in life? What does tov mean? Shneimar Imrut Sadik Kitor. Say about the righteous. Again, quoting from Yeshayo. Say about the righteous that he is good. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vayares Haor. Ra'a Bedaito Lis Kaim Haor Shala Olam Beshila Sadik Shehutov. Literally, what the way Gemara is darshaning is Kalish Baruch Hu felt that it was worth it to create or even for one Tov, even for one Sadik. The Sadik is so powerful that the Sadik makes all of creation worthwhile. So beautiful. Amar Rav Elazar, I'll say this is actually a very interesting Gemara. Kolim Shakiach Dover Mitalmudo, Goreim Golos Labanov. Whoever goes ahead and forgets something from his learning causes exile for his children. That's pretty strong. I will say, the Ritva comments on this. It says, what does that mean? The word Mishak, you see, the Gemara could have said, Kol HaShokheach. Kol HaShokheach would have meant to forget. Mishakheach means, the Ritva says, Shegoreim B'mezid L'shkoach Davar Mitamudo. Causes himself purposely to forget. Now, what does that mean, causes himself purposely to forget? So, we'll say, that's talking about someone who disparages Torah. Someone who disparages Torah says, ugh, this is so silly. This is so not worth it. This is not even worth retaining. Such a person who disparages Torah like that, derides Torah like that, and says it's not even worth retaining, such a person ultimately will be Gorim Golos. What is interesting? Why does the Gemara say Gorim Golos Labanov? Both say, if there is one way to drive your children away from Torah, what's the easiest way to do that? Quick way. If you're looking for the 1, 2, 3 way to drive your children from Torah, be cynical about it. Be cynical. Be cynical at the table. Be cynical around them. And trust me, they will not stick around for too long. Because if you're cynical about it, and if you deride it, that's what it means, Goreim Golos Labanov. You will choose your children to walk away from it. Because why would your children want to perpetuate something that you yourself are cynical about? He goes on, Shne'emar, Vatishkach Toras Elokecha, Eshkach banecha gam oni. If you forget the Torah of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forget. God says, I will forget your children as well. And again, remember, this is not God. This is me. If I'm cynical or derisive about something, then when I say again, my children aren't going to see any value in it. Rabbi Avo Amar, Moridin Oso Migdulaso. Ultimately, a person like this will lose any standing that they have. Literally, he'll be brought down from his greatness. Shneimar, Ki ato. He's quoting over here the pasuk from Hosea again. Ki ata, it's the end of the pasuk. Let me just find this from here. Ki ata hadas maasto ve'em oscha mikahin li. I'm Rabbi Chibar, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ain, and also another beautiful Gemara. Ain tzaddik niftar min ha'olam ad shenivra tzaddik kamoso. A tzaddik doesn't leave this world until another tzaddik is created to replace him. Mina Bo say again that the world is never void of righteous people. So before one tzaddik leaves the world, another tzaddik is brought in. Shene emar, v'zorach hashemesh, Ubahashemesh. Literally, the sun will rise and the sun will set. So the Gemara is dashing. Ad shelo kavsa shimshol shel eli zarcha shimshol shel shmul haramasi. The Gemara just gives one example of this. That what? Until before the son of Eli. Eli was the Kohen Gadol. So before the son of Eli set, the son of Shmuel, Shmuel Hanavi already risen. Well, so what's also interesting about this is the following. It doesn't automatically mean that those people are replacements. For example, Eli was a Kohen Gadol, Shmuel was not. Shmuel was a Navi. Right? So again, it doesn't literally mean, the Gemara is not saying that literally that there's a replacement for the angel. What the Gemara is saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always makes sure that there are great people to lead us in every generation. And before one great person is taken, another great person is already put in this world. So listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the truth is, truly righteous people are at a premium. At a premium. There aren't a lot of them. So what did he do? Amad ushtalan ushaslan b'chol dar b'dar. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure to... right, there's a... Literally, spread them out. Thank you. Make sure to spread them and plant them in every generation. So that again, there shouldn't be an overwhelming abundance of tzaddikim in one generation, and then one generation is nothing else. Shne'emar, ki lahashem mitzuki eretz, v'yoshes aleim tevel. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the pillars of the earth, and on them he will plant the world. The pillars are the tzaddikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants the pillars in different generations. Amar Reb Chibar, Amar Reb Yochanan, afilu bishvil tzaddik echad ha'olam miskayim. Even for one tzaddik, the world exists. Shne'emar, the tzaddik yisod olam. The tzaddik is the very foundation of the world. Reb Chiya didei amar mehacha raglei chasidav yishmar. Literally, because of his devout ones, he will protect the world. Because raglei over here doesn't mean feet. Raglei over here means because of. Because of the righteous ones, God will watch the world. Chasidav tuva mashma. Ultimately, again, here the Gemara says, but before you just said that the world is created or the world exists even for one tzaddik. What's the problem? The pasuk you just quoted about say chasidav is what? Chasidav is plural. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, chasido ksiv. But interestingly enough, the way it's written is it's written without that second yud. So even though again it's vocalized chasidav, but it's the way it could be read, it could be chasido. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba. Let's just read one more line and then we'll stop for today. This is an amazing Gemara. I'm going to leave you with this cliffhanger. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Kevan sheyatzu rov shnosav shal adam velo chata shuv eino chote. Rav Chiya, if a person gets to the majority of his years and has not sinned, right, said at this point in time, he will not sin again. I will say that this is subject to much dispute. Right? So this thing, if the majority of his years have elapsed, so he's not going to sin. What's the problem with this? What's wrong? First of all, no one knows their lifespan. No one has sinned. Although again, when you get to a certain age, I guess you could pretty much guess that most of your years are behind you. Shne'emar raglei chasidav yishmar. I will say that we'll stop over here. We'll pick up a Emirat Hashem with Rabbi Yochanan tomorrow.
Don't believe in yourself. Don't.